You're listening to Here and Now from WFPL News. I'm Graham Shelby. Let's talk about what happened yesterday in Kentucky. Voters sided with Democrats in 5 out of 6 statewide races, including a 21-point margin of victory for Governor Steve Beshear. We're going to talk about it right now with WFPL political editor Philip Bailey, reporter Devin Katayama from WFPL, who covered the election last night from Democratic headquarters in Frankfort, and we're also joined by CN2 political reporter Kenny Colston, who spent election night in Lexington at GOP headquarters. Gentlemen, thanks. Welcome, and thanks for coming by. Before we get into like the nuts and bolts of how this election was won, I want to ask this question. Only about 28% of registered voters came and cast a ballot yesterday. That means a lot of folks aren't really tuned into what's happening in terms of this election, in terms of the issues that, you know, the candidates were debating. Let's address them for a second. If I'm one of, you know, just 4 million Kentuckians going to work every day, trying to get by, trying to take care of my family or whatever, what does another 4 years of Steve Beshear in office mean to me? Kenny, let's start with you.
Well, I think what it means to you is that you hope to see more progress coming out of the national recession. That's a lot of what plagued Steve Beshear in his first 4 years. And obviously, we're well aware of the economic development announcements he's been doing for the last 4 years. He has another one again today, you know, just hours after winning re-election. He's got another one today in Louisville off Whittington Parkway. So you're going to see more of Steve Beshear trying to manage the economy, trying to manage state resources out of this recession. He's saying a lot at the end of the campaign trail that he thought there was light at the end of the tunnel. So if you're one of the 72%, you're probably looking for Steve Beshear to completely take you out of the darkness. And he's going to probably try to do that through expanded gambling, attempting to do that one more time, and maybe some education reforms.
Philip, what do you think?
Well, I think in general, the idea of another 4 years of Steve Beshear and the low interest in the race means we'll see where the state goes in the next 4 years as far as what his agenda might actually be and how it will be different and how whether relationships will still be scarred and it'll still be hard to navigate Frankfort for Beshear. I think that was one thing he learned for 2007 that maybe he didn't anticipate was that while there was a lot of promise and the campaign is one thing, governing is another. And running up against David Williams, who is the great white shard of Frankfort in many ways, that person has now been seriously wounded by the ramifications of this election, politically speaking. So it may actually be very easier for Steve Beshear. But then again, his relationship with Greg Stumbo, the House Speaker, has not been the best relationship in the world either, just because it hasn't been partisan. People generally don't pay as much attention to that. And at the end of the day, I think that we should really be talking to House Speaker Greg Stumbo and asking him, just as much as the governor, what are the next 4 years going to look like?
Kenny, you mentioned gambling as a possibility for something we're going to see. Any other thoughts on what initiatives we think Steve Beshear is going to come present to the public, present to the legislature to try and cement his legacy?
I think we in the first term, we all thought there was going to be something else in Steve Beshear's back pocket other than gaming when that didn't succeed initially. And we saw that with, you know, education reform, trying to, I guess, extend the age limit on graduations. It's been little things here and there, but there's been no real clear legacy. Like, for example, with Paul Patton, I think you can point to some things with his legacy, like the governor scholars and things of that nature. I don't know if we were taking cues from the first term, I don't see anything coming down as far as big ideas. Tax reform isn't on the table at all, as the governor has made clear. It appears that we are still in this mode of the recession has hit Kentucky so hard, let's get out of that first, then we can begin to talk about these other issues.
I do think that one thing is that there's some hope among some Democrats that Steve Beshear kind of opens the playbook a little bit now. You know, early on in 2009, it became very clear that Steve Beshear was just gearing for re-election. And now that he's been re-elected with that 21-point mandate is what he's calling it, I think a lot of people hope that he will open the playbook, we'll see some big reforms, a la, you know, Paul Patton, Wallace Wilkinson, you'll know, whether it's economic or educational. I think a lot of people are hoping that Steve Beshear kind of does a little bit more than try to pass expanded gambling again in here in Kentucky.
Well, Devin, you were at Democratic headquarters last night. What did the governor talk about in his acceptance speech?
Yeah, and I think we saw a little bit of that bipartisan effort, bipartisan support coming out of his speech. Like you guys were saying, we haven't really heard much leading up to this campaign about what some of his initiatives might look like. And I think we saw a little sneak preview on what he, or how, at least how he plans to accomplish some of this using this bipartisan support. And we have a clip we'll play in a second, and it just kind of goes to show that it's going to probably take some of this effort, both on the right and the left, to get some of these things done.
This election was never about party. It was always about which candidate could best bring this Commonwealth together to tackle the challenges that we have. It was about who would make the tough decisions while protecting our most important priorities, the priorities of education, health care for our most vulnerable, public safety and job creation. It was about who remembered that at the end of the day, every decision we make affects real people in real ways. And that's something that I've never forgotten.
And you hear him talking a lot about what he's done. Everything he's done, he mentioned everything in the past tense. So you don't really get a sense on where he's headed necessarily, but he mentioned several times throughout his speech that it's time to put away party politics and let's work together on the issues.
Raise your hand if you've ever heard a politician say that on election night before.
I think we have to also note that Steve Beshear is probably the luckiest man in the Commonwealth's history politically as far as his races. He's run against the two of the most unpopular Republicans in recent memory, running against an indicted governor, former governor Ernie Fletcher, and then running against David Williams. In that aspect, Steve Beshear has been taken off a hook that most politicians would be put on, where he can literally look people in the eye and say, it is about the past that I've, things that I've done. Look who I came after and look who the other choice was. I mean, at the end of the day, we cannot overstate how unpopular and disliked David Williams was. Having that sort of handicap where you had conservative Republicans and Tea Party Republicans literally say, I don't like fundamentally as a person the head of my ticket, that creates, I think, a certain type of election where usual punditry may come into play, but I think we may want to add that a little bit more than we usually do.
Yeah, and David Williams kind of addressed that last night. You know, he opened his speech by saying, the candidate wasn't as well-liked as I had hoped, but the agenda was a correct one. So that's kind of interesting that he knows this was about how his likability, and that he doesn't have much likability when it comes to normal voters. He also kind of signaled that he's remaining Senate president, and he said his agenda is a correct one. Well, his agenda doesn't necessarily match up with Steve Beshear's. So it's going to be interesting to see if Beshear actually does, this 21-point win actually does break that Republican Senate, I guess, blockade.
Yeah, what does that buy him? What is winning by 21 points buy him? You know, President Obama had a 70-something percent approval rating when he first came in. That didn't seem to buy him very much with the opposition. What's going to happen in Frankfurt?
Getting into the weeds of it, which is where the politics really matters, the devil's in the details, I think what you'll see is that with if David Williams remains state Senate president, if you're a Senate Republican, I think you can really draw from this what the Beshear administration will often do is mention the election results and say, listen, at the end of the day, people had a choice. They had the direct choice between myself and the state Senate president, and they chose me overwhelmingly. How much longer, with your own election coming up, are you going to remain under the purview and under the control of David Williams? I suspect that next year's elections for state races, as far as state rep and state Senate, are already being drawn up by the Kentucky Democratic Party in the line of, are you going to continue to be David Williams' lackey? I mean, that's the type of language I think we're going to hear. And for certain Senate Republicans who, at the end of the day, care about their own self-interest, I think you may begin to see some of them, and it won't take that many, to at least come to the negotiating table, but maybe behind the scenes without the state Senate president's knowledge, willing to work with the Beshear administration and its agenda.
The local national connection is something that, you know, media types from all over the country are looking at, eager to look at. Let's take a look at it ourselves. One thing that's interesting is that, you know, the economy in Kentucky has been terrible for years. You know, this occurred during Steve Beshear's administration. Yet he doesn't seem to have been blamed for it to the same degree that President Obama has been blamed for it. The likability of his opponent aside, how has Steve Beshear been able to stay above that or away from that?
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, he's done a really good job of basically blaming Obama for it. I mean, he keeps saying the national recession, and that we've done a good job while the national recession. And I think people buy it. I mean, people are unhappy here in Kentucky with President Obama. He's not very, popular. And I think they do realize it's a national, worldwide recession. And, you know, it also helps when you have an economic development announcement every day, whether those jobs are being created or not. Of course, there was a lot of news stories that not all those jobs are being created. It creates the appearance that you're doing everything in your power to try to bring jobs here to Kentucky. And with Bashir basically doing that almost every single day, he's been able to remain above the fray and above blame. It was almost the economics almost played zero decision in this election.
When I talked to Professor Eric Ostermeyer from the University of Minnesota about this, he did some analysis about our gubernatorial race. He mentioned how, you know, Kentucky's unemployment rate is pretty similar to its neighboring states, which have picked Republicans as governors. I think, although his tag is Democrat, Steve Beshear has run as a conservative Republican in a lot of ways. He's run in a sort of a non-ideological standpoint, but he is by no means a liberal in his administration nor in his campaigning. So he did an excellent job of having sort of a clean slate, or no one really knew where to pin him ideologically. We can't really, I think, even mention the fact that he's a Democrat because, as Kenny mentioned, he went after President Obama so hard, almost to the degree that a Republican would in some aspects, in his famous State of the Commonwealth speech earlier this year, where he said, "Get off our backs." That sounds something like that a Republican would generally say, you know, making issues of the president's regulations. It's certainly something that Todd Peeple tried to make issue in his race against Attorney General Jack Conway, and it didn't work. I think that overplaying the Obama card too much can backfire. Steve Beshear was in a perfect position where he had, once again, a candidate, an opponent that no one really liked, and he sort of ran as a bland, "I'm not a Democrat or Republican" type of governor.
And I think also, like we were talking about before, like, Beshear doesn't have that legendary piece of legislation where you can define him one way or the other. Kenny, you were saying he's chipping away at little bits of job creation here and there. There's no distinct "that is Republican, that is Democrat" that you can really pull out and attack him in that way either.
There's no catastrophic failure either. At the end of the day, I mean, while people who are critical of the governor can say there's no chief accomplishment, there's no scandal, there's these small things that people pay attention to, things really, really, really well in Frankfurt, but to the general public, Steve Beshear hasn't done anything catastrophically wrong either.
It's more about managing the state's government through the recession and other issues. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back and talk more about the 2011 Kentucky election with our round table of seasoned political reporters. You're listening to Here and Now from WFPL News.
Support for WFPL comes from the University of Louisville's Anne Braden Institute for Social Justice Research. Presenting the 5th Annual Memorial Lecture, civil rights lawyer, professor, and author Michelle Alexander will give a talk titled "The New Jim Crow, Mass Incarceration in the Age of Colorblindness," tomorrow at 6 p.m. in the Speed Art Museum. Details at louisville.edu/Braden. From Trinity High School, offering students and parents a chance to see the Trinity difference at the annual open house Sunday from noon till 5. More at trinityrocks.com. From Live Nation, presenting Roger Waters of Pink Floyd and the production of The Wall, a visual and aural performance of the album in its entirety, featuring modern production and a full band at the KFC Yum Center June 10th. Tickets go on sale the 14th at livenation.com, ticketmaster.com, and 1-800-745-3000.
This is Here and Now from WFPL News. I'm Graham Shelby. We're talking about election 2011 in Kentucky with CN2 political reporter Kenny Colston and WFPL's Philip Bailey and Devin Katayama. Devin, let's talk with you for a second. You were at Democratic headquarters last night, and Louisville's former mayor, Jerry Abramson, the new lieutenant governor-elect, was there. What did he talk about?
He was actually the first candidate to show up. Way before anybody else, which I think gives a little insight to how he's going to treat the lieutenant governor's position the next 4 years. He was there and he met with media and he was questioned about the campaign. He was basically a cheerleader for Beshear, even when he was asked about Beshear's lack of a campaign.
I disagree. The agenda has been to manage this government while you cut $1 billion out of the budget, balancing it 9 times, and protecting education. There was his number one initiative. And the SEEK formula, the K-12 funding, was covered. Public safety, making sure the state police were covered, that was there. The safety net, as individuals and families were losing their jobs, losing their farms, losing their businesses, you needed to have that Medicaid safety net. And then job creation is what this governor has been focused on.
Lieutenant Governor-elect Jerry Abramson, what is he going to be doing over the next 4 years? Lieutenant Governor doesn't have a whole lot of defined responsibilities.
I would think that with a political asset like Jerry Abramson, that immediately gives you a lot of connections to Washington. That gives you, I think, someone who, as Devin mentioned, the cheerleader thing is, and optimism is really Abramson's only best true legacy here in the city of Louisville. So with that, I think Bashir has a great asset that in many ways has those connections that he himself may not have. The initial thought by many of us locally was that Abramson would give Bashir an upper hand in the gamesmanship with Williams. I think what you saw right there in that clip that Devin had was that Abramson is able to succinctly explain things to where people go, I get it now. And I think that's something that Bashir has maybe had a gap with in his administration, the communications aspect. And Jerry Abramson is a masterful pitchman.
Kenny, how do you think Jerry Abramson is going to relate to some of the folks from different parts of the state who's going to be working with now as lieutenant governor?
Well, you know, he spent a lot of time out west campaigning. You know, Governor Steve Beshear didn't spend a whole lot of time on the campaign trail. It was a lot of Jerry Abramson, a lot of First Lady Jane Beshear, even Madeline Abramson a little bit. So I think he'll be able to relate very well out west, which is kind of the swing area of the state when it comes to voting. And of course, obviously, he resonates here in Louisville. I think what you'll see out of Jerry Abramson is kind of a role of economic development is kind of what they've been pitching. Obviously, with the ties to Washington, like Philip mentioned, obviously his ties here to the state's biggest city here in Louisville. Kind of Jerry being the pitch man to bring in more business, make the state better economically is what you'll see from him. Because really, as lieutenant governor, you don't have any role other than if for some reason the governor can't serve, you're supposed to step up to the plate and say, hey guys, I'm here. So a lot of under the radar talk this election cycle was what the lieutenant governor candidates would be doing when they got into office. And Jerry's kind of quietly been mentioned as someone who's going to worry about economic development and maybe take that a little bit away from Bashir.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jack Conway. 1 year ago, he's trounced by a conservative Republican opponent. A year later, he does the trouncing of a conservative Republican opponent. Different office, sure, but same guy. How do you account for that?
Well, I think that we saw in Jack Conway was that, as he mentioned in his acceptance speech, people had really, if we go back 11 months ago, there were many in the media and in political circles who had really written Jack Conway off. There were questions of even he wanted to run for re-election as attorney general. I know that generally speaking, when you talk about last year's election compared to this one, I think what we see was that Conway was able to do what he does best. He was able to talk about the nuts and bolts of what I do as attorney general. Last year, I mean, the force that is now known as U.S. Senator Rand Paul, I think, wiped the floor with Trey Grayson and Jack Conway. I don't think anyone could have stood in front of that that tidal wave. And we also saw that, you know, the People campaign, Todd People's campaign, made some strategic mistakes. As much as they can blame this on David Williams, having that margin of victory at the top of the ticket, People did make some strategic mistakes at the end of the day because he ran what it appeared to be a very political Republican primary sort of race in a general election attorney general race. Even in his concession speech, People once again, even after getting beat by 9 points, still mentioned President Obama and running against the healthcare law all over again, which may be a hint to running for Congress one day. But he completely overplayed that. The anti-Obama sentiment in Kentucky was not able to resonate at all in this race. And as much as people want to point that out, that David Williams may be responsible for the margin of victory for Jack Conway, I think People has to own some of that himself.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about Allison Lundergan Grimes. She ran a pretty vigorous campaign, a pretty well-financed campaign for Secretary of State. Let's listen to a piece of her acceptance speech.
Elizabeth Cady Stanton told us the right is ours. Have it, we must, and use it, we will, as we did tonight. As your Secretary of State, making sure all Kentuckians' voices are heard, whether they live in Park Plaza, on a park bench, or in a park car, is my priority, friends. We discussed the need to make sure that we are engaging all Kentuckians to be a part of this process, especially reaching out to the youth of Kentucky, translating that engagement into participation on Election Day, because we all know this election, it's not about today, it's about tomorrow. It's about the direction we're headed and we're moving forward.
Pretty energetic, pretty populist also in a lot of the things she talked about on the campaign trail. Allison Lundergan Grimes' campaign to me seemed to have all the earmarks of something that's designed to launch a career. What are you all political insiders hearing about that?
Yeah, I would say I think Allison Lundgren Grimes has a political career, obviously. Where that goes from after this race, who knows? Obviously, she had the rumors about running against Mitch McConnell in 2014. We'll see. It might be too early to jump that so quickly. She'll only have maybe a year in office and probably not a lot of credentials to run after a year as Secretary of State to challenge the Republican leader of the Senate, U.S. Senate. But clearly she has a role, I mean, in politics in the future. She's talked about how she would like to emulate Martha Lane Collins, which is, you know, former governor of Kentucky. A lot of people are rooming her to be the kind of lieutenant governor if Greg Stumbo decides to run in 2015. So I think she has taken the mantle of Democratic Party young, bright star.
Terrific. Last question. Why do Kentuckians seem so comfortable sending Democrats to Frankfurt and Republicans to Washington?
I would say that's because, generally speaking, people misread the label of Democrat and Republican in this state. Democrats in this state include conservative people like Jim Gooch, all the way to liberals like John Yarmouth. And nationally, or at least here as far as the Republican Party is concerned, we have really a conservative party and a light conservative party. I don't think anyone would make a contention that outside of Yarmouth, there are that many stalwart liberals who are Democrats in the state, whether at the federal level or the state level. So really, at the end of the day, we're voting for two types of conservatives. One we're sending to the national front, one we're sending to the state front. But I think the Democratic and Republican labels in Kentucky negates the ideologies within the Democratic Party, which tends to be more conservative than most Democratic parties around the country.
I see. All right. Well, I think we're going to leave it there, gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us. Kenny Colston, reporter for CN2.
Thank you for having me.
And I want to thank Philip Bailey, WFPL's political editor, and Devin Katayama, reporter who spent last night at Democratic headquarters
Thanks.
In Frankfurt.
Mm-hmm.